Mother's Day. Everybody give our mothers a big hand clap. Nothing greater in the world than mom. Mom never thinks you do anything wrong. Well, some moms do, but my mom, I'm going to tell you something. My mom was something else. My mom was, me and my mom, we drive fast, okay? That's just what we do. And when I turned 16, I started getting quite a few tickets, and she'd kind of keep it from my dad, you know, and help me pay them off, because she remembered when I was 12 years old, she got a ticket and didn't want my dad to know, but she didn't have the money to pay for it, so I sold my aquarium to help her pay for her ticket. So, you know, we have a ticket bond, because, you know, I mean, you gotta ride dirty in the streets, you're gonna get somewhere, amen? So, but today, we're talking about moving forward, and three things, man, I want to tell you three rules, man, that I live by in my life, and I think if you apply these, going to help you. The first thing is, you know what, if you don't go after what you want, you're never going to have it. You got to go after what is in your heart. You got to go after what God has called you to do. If you don't go after it, you're never going to have it. And the next thing is, if you don't ask, the answer is always going to be no. There is nothing wrong. People always have this problem with, like, asking. And there's nothing wrong with asking for help or just getting advice. And, you know, even when it comes to God, God says, hey, ask. If you ask, you can't have nothing because you don't ask. So we need to ask in order to move forward. And then the third thing is, if you don't simply step forward, you will always be in the same place. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in the same place a year from now. Amen? I think that everybody in here wants to be at a different place. I mean, if you want to just stay where you're at, I mean, that's kind of, just think for a minute, man. Your first job. I don't know what your first job was. My first job was working at a place called Leaps and Bounds, okay? It was back in the day, and they, you know, when they had the tunnels, and the kids would crawl through the tunnels. And I'd have to go in the tunnels and clean up the throw-up from the kids. I don't know. They just got sick in the tunnels. And then you just, you know, I don't know why we just didn't put it down in a cave. But it was my first job. Second job, best job I ever had besides next to church, Pizza Hut. Because Pizza Hut was amazing, because I could put as many toppings as I wanted on the pizza. And man, I had that box so heavy, and it was just an amazing job. But you know what? I don't want to work at Pizza Hut the rest of my life. I mean, seriously, do you want to make what you're making right now 10 years from now? I hope not. And am I saying, oh, he's all about the money, the mean green? No, I'm talking about progression, moving forward, because God doesn't want you to stay where you're at. And moving forward is not a talent, okay? It's not like something that, you see people that, oh, they have a talent for that. It's not an art. It's not something that you're born with. Moving forward hinges on one thing and one thing only, and that is pure determination. Because if you're going to move forward, you have to be absolutely determined. I don't know if you can remember the last time you were determined to do something. Maybe you can think up in your head. I remember the first time that I was ever determined to do something. It was 1989. I was 11 years old, and I wanted a Commodore 64 computer. Yes, this was it back in the day. You see the monitor? No, the computer was in the keyboard. This was like the back in the day Mac Mini. It was all built in to the keyboard, and you plugged in. I wanted one of these, but there was only one problem. My parents weren't in technology. They're not even in technology today. How do you talk parents that aren't in technology to getting you a computer that in 1989 only 15% of the homes in America had? Only 15%. So my dad's like, I ain't getting you a bunch of wires in a box. That's demonic. My dad, he's crazy like that. But anything he doesn't understand, it's demonic. But that's demonic. So 15%. So how am I going to do this? How am I going to get this Commodore 64? I just got done watching War Games, and I wanted to hack the system. And I don't know if you've ever seen War Games, good movie. How many of you actually seen War Games? Lift your hand. Shame on, who has not seen it? You need to do something about that. Today on Mother's Day, Mom, we're watching War Games. So I was like, I got to get this computer. I'm 11 years old, don't have a job, don't have any money. And limited time in order to kind of make this happen. So I went to the garage. I found my dad's old set of golf clubs. All right, he had these old set. My dad's a golfer. He's always wanted me to be a golfer, but I'm not going to be a golfer because I don't want to put on those goofy pants. So I said, I'm going to take these golf clubs, and I'm going to go to my dad. Dad, hey, man, I saw you got a new set of golf clubs. Can I have your old set of golf clubs? And he was like, well, yeah, you can have them. I can have the bag and everything. He's like, yeah, you can have the bag. So I was like, awesome. I didn't tell him why I wanted the golf clubs. I just told him I wanted the golf clubs. So I took the golf clubs, and, you know, back in 1989, there wasn't anything called eBay or Craigslist. That just wasn't it. You had something called the classifieds. And in the classifieds, there was this section called for sale or trade. Now, that was where I was at because I needed to trade these golf clubs for a Commodore 64. Now, that might sound kind of odd, but I got on the phone as an 11-year-old kid, and I was like, yeah, I would like to place an ad for, I have a Commodore, I have a set of golf clubs, and I would like to trade them for a Commodore 64. Can you put that in your paper? Put it in the paper. All of a sudden, got a hold of this guy, and all of a sudden, the doorbell rang. Parents have no idea what's going on. I'm making black deals in the street, black moves, doing stuff. And so the doorbell rings, and the guy's standing there with the Commodore 64 computer, and he's like, is John here? And, of course, I'm standing behind my parents with the golf clubs in the bag. My dad turns around. I'm like, you said I could have them. Make a long story short, I gave him the clubs. He gave me the Commodore 64. I went upstairs, plugged that in. Boom, it was done. I was determined, and I got it. You see what I'm saying? So if I would have sat around and just kept playing with my speaking spell, it wouldn't have done anything. You know, I mean, I wanted to move forward with some new technology, and this is where it was at. And so, like I said, this is the first time I remember having pure determination to do something. And you know, everything in my life that has been worth doing has honestly only been done because I have been determined to move forward into something greater. And let me tell you something, determined people don't let setbacks determine their future. And you're going to have setbacks. You're going to have setbacks. Let me tell you, you can't let the stank of life get on you. Because it will get on you and you will have setbacks. You got to shank the stank in your life. You got to get rid of it, man, because people are going to try to give you setbacks, but you cannot. You got to be determined to not let that determine your future. And you might be sitting in here today and you might be thinking to yourself that you know, you have all these setbacks in your life. And you know what? It just feels like you're boxed in and you're locked in and there's no way out. Let me tell you something. There is always a way out. I don't care what you're in. I don't care what you're mixed up in. There is always a way out. There is always a way to turn the tides in your favor because you have your Heavenly Father standing with you through the storms of life. There's always a way. And God can give you that way. And you know what? Some of you are like, well, I don't really have anything to work with. I really don't have much to produce what I want to see. Let me tell you got the power of God living on the inside of you. And there is no problem too big or complex that God cannot turn around. I'm telling you, there are some people that have some pretty complex situations. And if you're not careful, you'll talk to everybody and be like, oh, that's pretty complex. But let me tell you, God specializes in the complex. God specializes in turning things around that no one else seems to think can be turned around. And that's why I want to live this life, because you know what? There's no excuse to live in failure and defeat, because you have the wealth of grace and love and power and wisdom that come from your Heavenly Father at your disposal. You know what that means, at your disposal? You can get it anytime you want. What if somebody comes up to you and say, hey, I got a garage and I got about 100 cars. Keys are in every car. Now, here's a key to the door to the building. You can drive any car you want in my building. They're at your disposal. Have any time you want. Now, if you don't go over there, it's going to be pointless to even have that benefit. But if you start visiting that place and you unlock the door, you see all these cars, you can drive a different car every day. It's at your disposal. I'm telling you, grace and love and power and wisdom are at your disposal. You just got to go get it in the name of Jesus. Got to step out and move in it in the name of Jesus. And when you understand that, you're going to live life a little different. Let me tell you something. I don't approach God as some tramp beggar. A lot of people, they approach God kind of in this, begging for food. I don't stand at my Father's doorstep and beg for food. I'm not like some bird, like, feed me. Just a worm today, oh God. So hungry. Please. I'm starving, God. That's how a lot of people are. That's not how God wants you to be. You're not a tramp. You're triumphant in Christ. I'm a son. You're a daughter, son and daughter of God, and God expects us to claim our legal rights as his kids. I mean, the DNA of moving forward is built on the inside of you because you're made in the image of God. You are a partaker of the divine nature of God, and part of God's divine nature is determination. I don't know if you ever thought about this or not, but God's a pretty determined person. He was determined since the very beginning to redeem you and I as his very own. He was determined to send his son to this earth to die for you. He was determined to rescue you out of the hands of oppression and demonic slavery. He was determined. Jesus on the cross was determined to provide you freedom. I mean, we are kingdom. Moving forward is what we do. This is who we are. We don't sit around and grow stale. We move forward. And whatever dreams, desires, ambitions that you have in your heart, you might be thinking to yourself, I don't know if I can do them. I've tried. Let me tell you something right now. You can move forward. You can walk out of these doors and you can move forward. And yes, you're going to have setbacks, but determined people don't let the setbacks determine who they are in life. You know, when I think about sheer determination and moving forward, I can't help but think about the prophet Nehemiah. I don't know if you're familiar with the prophet Nehemiah, but there's a book in the Old Testament called Nehemiah, and in the sixth chapter, he says something that really, man, always brings strength to me. If I'm going through something and I feel like giving up, it's in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 9. It says, they were just trying to intimidate us. What Nehemiah said, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work, so I continued the work with even greater determination. I love this. Everyone around Nehemiah wanted him to quit. And before I tell you what Nehemiah did, let me tell you what he didn't do. He didn't stop to hear the people out. You know what? If you got negative people around you, you don't stop to hear them out. I see so many people, they're going, well, I got to hear them out. No, you don't. You ain't got to hear nobody out. If something's going against your purpose, if somebody's bringing you down, hey, I'm going to be honest with you. And this might not come across nice, but you know, I'm going to say it. There was a time before we even pastored Nexus, Lisa and I, we've always just had people over to our house, but there was a time where one couple in particular, they don't go to Nexus. There's a reason probably. But every time they came over, they were negative. Just negative. From the time they walked in to the time they left. And they came over a couple times. And eventually I told Lisa, they ain't coming over here no more. I'm not letting them in this house again because they're just so negative. When they leave, I'm looking for a gun. It's like, they're just negative. And you don't have to hear people out. The next thing Nehemiah did, he didn't go and pray that the people would leave him alone. And he didn't retaliate against the people who were basically bashing him. Let me tell you something. A determined person is going to be a person that is oftentimes bashed or not understood. And because determined people are successful people, okay? And successful people, a lot of times, are hated people. And let me tell you why successful people are hated people. Because successful people have what the haters don't have, but the haters want, and they're mad that the successful people have it. Okay? Now, we're not talking about I'm not talking about things in general, but there's always going to be somebody who wants to kind of be you. Okay? Somebody who's always like trying to measure up. They look at their kids, they look at your kids like, well, hey. Well, honey, we're going to have to get something different. We got to keep up. Or homes or cars or whatever. And you're always going to have people that'll bash you. Especially anytime you're doing something great. Anytime you do something where you're making a difference, it's going to make people mad. And my purpose in saying that Nehemiah didn't retaliate is because determined people don't have time to fix what everybody thinks about them. If you go around trying to fix what everybody else thinks about you, you're going to need to quit your job. All right? You're going to need to get a divorce. You're going to need to stay on a computer a lot, write a lot of Facebook messages, a lot of handwritten notes. You're going to have to do a lot of things to be, hey, I heard. Who cares what you heard? The only thing that matters is what you heard from God. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. That is how determined people have to operate in order to move forward. Because people can either be your fuel or they can be your fire. You can either let people just burn you up and steal your energy, or you can let it fuel you to move forward with greater intensity and determination. You got to quit using your fuel on haters. You know how every day we all start off the day? Joe, we all start off the day with the same amount of energy. Well, I guess. I wouldn't say that's a fact, but it just sounds nice to say that we all start off the same amount of energy. Because some people probably are more tired than others, depends how long you sleep. But my point is, we all have the same amount of time each and every day. And if you're not careful, you use your fuel for the wrong kinds of things. Let's say today, you said my tank is empty, and I'm going to give you money, fill up your tank with gas, and this is your last tank of gas. Okay? Where are you going to go? This is it. After this, no more driving. This is it. You got one tank of gas. Where are you going to go? What are you going to spend your fuel on? Are you going to go places that really don't matter? Or are you going to go places that are going to help you leverage in life? And every day, you have this amount of fuel. And some of us, by noon, we're out of fuel. Because we've used it all on everybody around us. You should reserve your tank. I say this to all guys who are married. You got to reserve your tank for when you get home. Because if you don't reserve your tank, you're going to walk in your house on empty, and you're going to be like a monster to your wife and kids. Like, I need to be upstairs with my Xbox. You got to reserve your tank. I think about this. I think about this with my wife. And when I go home, there's some things I deal with during the day. I'm like, well, hold up. Hey, is this going to be stealing my energy? I don't know. Because when I come home, I want to have energy for my family. And I'm telling you that you can't spend your energy on what people think about you. Here's a proven fact. Everybody in here. For everybody in here, there is somebody who does not like you. And you know what? You just need to get over it. You got to be fine with not everybody liking you. Not everybody liked Jesus. I think they killed him. That's how much they didn't like him. And he was the Son of God. Never sinned, never did anything wrong. All he wanted to do is help people. That's all he wanted to do. But yet the religious people are like, there has to be a motive. What's going on? This is too good to be true. And they killed him. So don't go around bickering and arguing with people. Don't feel the need to have everybody on your page before you go forward. You know, if Lisa and I, before we started Nexus, was waiting for everybody to be on our page, we would have never started Nexus. We still would have been where we were at and been like, well, we're going to just have to wait a little longer. Let me tell you something. As long as God is on your page, that's all that matters. As long as he is the author of what you're doing, then quit letting other people try to stop you. Romans 8:31, we all know it. If God is for us and the owls say, who can ever be against us? Every time I see an owl, I think of this. I'm not even kidding. Who can ever be against us? Who can ever be against us? And then I go back to the old song. Who that gonna be against you? That's what I think about. Like, who can be against us? Nobody. Nobody. You got the triple beam team working inside you. You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. They have come and they have set up shop inside you, and they have given you power and wisdom and grace and love to move forward in the name of Jesus. Now, there's a scripture that I often read when it comes to moving forward that I think at first glance looks like it has nothing to do with moving forward. But if you give me a chance to explain, I want to talk about this scripture. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. And it says, may Christ, through your faith, actually dwell and settle down and abide and make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. Love this. The most important thing to understand with this scripture is that Paul was not talking to unbelievers. At first glance, you think he is because he starts off saying, may Christ through your faith dwell down, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your life. But that's not who Paul's talking to. Paul is trying to get across the point to believers that the heart is made up of two parts. Spirit and soul. Very important to understand. You can find this in Matthew 12, 34. Talks about the heart being made in two parts. In the instance someone makes Jesus the Lord of their life, the Father sends forth the Spirit of his Son into that person's heart. So if you're saved and you've confessed with your mouth, believe in your heart, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, you are saved. But Paul was praying for these people because he wanted the presence of Christ, which was already a reality in their spirit, to become a reality in their souls. And a lot of you, the presence of Christ is a reality in your spirit. You know you're saved, but it's really not a reality in your souls. And I think most people would like to take this scripture and maybe change it a little bit and maybe wish that Paul wouldn't have put by faith in it. Because come on, I mean, it's most of us don't like doing anything by faith. I mean, we like doing things by our feelings. We want to feel it before we do it. We would rather have Christ in our hearts by feeling than by faith. And you know what? Faith does sometimes produce feelings, but feelings are not faith. And that's what you have to be really careful about. Sometimes, you know, you get a feeling and you're like, oh, whew, I feel like I can do this. You got to be careful because it might not be faith. It might just be emotion or excitement at the time because feelings and faith are not the same thing. Now, this is basically illustrated, or excuse me, that if you look at the average Christians who don't feel the presence of the Lord, you know, they don't feel the presence of the Lord. They don't think God's there because they don't feel him. And you can see this clearly evident in the way a lot of people pray. You know, a lot of times people will start off their prayers, "Lord, we ask you to be with us today and be with us throughout this week." I don't know if you've ever thought about how dumb that is. Maybe do we pray it because it's like a routine? I mean, these prayers are simply unbelief because God's already said he'll never leave you or forsake you. God, be with me today. And God's like inside you and he's like, "Whoa, hey, Holy Spirit, what's he talking about?" And Jesus over here like, "I don't know. He's been saying it every day for 20 years. And we've been here." And you remember the other day he was talking to Billy? He was like, he thought we left, but we didn't go anywhere. The Holy Spirit's in you. God's in you. Jesus lives on the inside of you. But this all goes back to feelings. We know that God has promised that he'll never leave us or forsake us, but we don't feel his presence at times. Now, this is all, understand, this is all moving to the place to where talking about being determined and moving forward, understanding the scripture, understanding the difference, understanding the presence of Christ, not just in the spirit, but in your soul as well. And Paul was praying for these people that instead of being dominated by their feelings, they would renew their minds in Christ, in his word, and perceive by faith, not feelings, that Christ is in their souls. You know, when people come to this understanding, they won't quit so easy. They won't. And the reason they won't quit so easy is because they'll know that God is with them no matter what. I mean, think about the number one reason why people quit and they do not move forward. I'm sure if we took an inventory of your life, if you took an inventory of my life, and we got to the certain things, I mean, not saying everything, but a lot of things that maybe that we quit that we thought we should continue to do, because there are things that we quit that we shouldn't do. But the things that we quit that we should have done, the main reason people quit is because they had a feeling. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm not going anywhere. Don't know why this is happening. Doesn't seem to be working out. Like if God is in it, everything is rainbows. I mean, I think that's what we think. Oh, why am I going through this? I started serving God 2 weeks ago, and where's my new Bentley? Where is it? I don't understand. God, I started this business 2 months ago. Where's the money? That's how we are. We give up and not understand that Christ is with us. And you can't go by your feelings. You can't go by what you see. You got to go by faith. And just as a tree's roots provide it with stability and nourishment, so also our revelation of God's love is the foundation in which everything else can be built that we receive from God. This has been enormous in my life. You know, the scripture that we read earlier, if God be for us, who can be against us? A lot of people can't pray that with power because they really don't know if God is for them or against them. But that's not even what the scripture says. It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? But in their minds, they're like, well, if God is for me today, I can do it, but tomorrow he might be against me. No, if God is for you, who can be against you? And the only way to truly know that God is for you is to know the love that he has for you. And you know what? I'm never going to quit preaching about how much God loves people. I was talking with a minister yesterday, and he said, you know, one of the greatest things, man, I've been following you, you know, seeing on Facebook, the greatest thing, man, it seems like the greatest thing that you have going for you is momentum. It always seems like you have momentum. I said, well, it's not because it's just there. You can lose momentum very easily. I said, honestly, our major focus is preaching about the love of Christ. And I said, that's it. And the pastor was asking me for some ideas. And I said, you know, I don't know what your purpose is or why you started your church. But really, every single week, no matter what message I preach, the love of God comes up. And you know, there might be some people who be like, you know, I'm tired of hearing about the love of God. I'm going to go somewhere where he doesn't love me so much. But I'm going to keep preaching it because you need to know. Oh, my friends, you need to know that God loves you and God cares about you and that God is madly just head over heels for you. And that he wants to see you move forward. When you know what you know what this means? When I say if God is for you, who can be against you? Let me say it to you another way. When you know God is behind you and what you are doing, why ever quit? How can you fail if God is supporting you and is behind you? And it's because of the love of God that we can continue to move forward. And you know, when you are determined that he loves you, that God loves you, you will determine what happens to you. And you got to know the love of God, my friends. Whatever situation you're in today, you're wanting to move forward. It might be in business. It might be in your marriage. Our marriages always need to be moving forward. A year from now, I want to be a better husband than I am. Okay? When I first got married to Lisa, I don't mean this boastfully, but when I got married to Lisa, I would like to say I was a pretty poor husband compared to how I am today. And I'm always looking, and I've talked a lot of things about my marriage, but I want to be the best husband I can be. I want to treat her like the daughter of God that she is. Hey, I don't want to mess with God's daughter. I don't want to do that. I tell my kids, I say, hey, the princess has come home. She's home. They're like, oh, hey, princess, poopy princess, poopy princess. You know, because they say poop for everything, like I've been saying every week. We're trying to get them out of that. But you know, she is the most amazing person to me. And I can only move forward when I'm determined to be the best husband I can be. So it might be in your marriage. It might be in your job. Maybe you've had some setbacks. Maybe you've had a little difficulty with a couple things. Maybe some coworkers driving you nuts. All right? Sometimes you just have to let people go. Sometimes you just have to, and you got to ask God for wisdom. Sometimes things can't be worked out. And I hate to break that to you. This has nothing to do with loving people. This has nothing to do in believing God's best. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes in your life, you're trying to salvage something that is not salvageable. And what you're doing is you're doing that person an injustice by keeping them where they are because they could do greater things somewhere else. And sometimes we just have to know, hey, if I'm going to move forward, I'm going to have to make some changes. I have to be determined. I'm going to listen to the voice of God. I'm determined. Now, if I make this decision, I might have some setbacks, meaning that I might have some stuff that comes against me. But no matter what, I'm determined to go forward with what God has called me to do. And I challenge you with that today. Last week, we talked about what belongs to us in Christ. And knowing just, hey, I just know what belongs to me in Christ. And when you know what belongs to you in Christ, like I said, you can move forward. But next week, I want to talk about the importance of reacting. You know, reaction is a very powerful thing. Okay? I don't know if you're into boxing. I don't know if you, I didn't get the chance to watch the fight. I think it was a week ago, but I got a chance to watch it last night. Floyd Mayweather, his last boxing match. And Floyd Mayweather, his greatest ability is reaction. The reason he's such a great counter boxer is because he has such an amazing reaction time. And when you can react in the proper way, you can do damage to the things that are trying to come against you. And I want to just help you grow in this. And you know, I know what belongs to me. I'm going to move forward, but I'm also going to react properly to the things that maybe I face on a daily basis. Amen.